lead sinners to the cross of Calvary. Now bless us and help. Give an unction from thyself, Lord, that anointing that we need to proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus. In his name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Right, Acts 20 and verse 24 really is our main text here today, where the apostle said, "None of these things move me. None of these things move me." Oh, how easily men are moved, that are deterred or distracted. But you will see right here that none of these things moved the apostle Paul. We learn a whole lot in this text about the character of this apostle. He was undoubtedly an outstanding man. He was an outstanding leader, and he was a committed Christian. And that really is the very thrust of this message found in this text, this portion of God's Word. We have a snapshot of the man, and it's also a snapshot of ourselves. Do these things move us? Now, what Paul was facing is very different from what we are facing at this time in this pandemic. And we might easily be moved or steered away in some other direction. But it behoves us, it is the mandate given to us to continue on, to not be distracted, but to serve the Lord and to continue on worshiping the Lord, witnessing of the Lord, and of course, preaching this good news of the gospel. And so I want us to look today at the things that made this man tick. Note the big statement in verse 22, where he says that, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me." Back to verse 22. "Behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." And so you'll see here that he was regulated by the power, the guiding hand of the Holy Spirit. Paul was not going to Jerusalem as a tourist. He was going under commission to serve the Lord. And when God speaks and when God controls, then we must go as led by the Lord, and it really comes down to our duty. And perhaps in the Christian church, we do not preach duty nearly enough. What is my duty today? Well, in light of this shutdown and inability to meet as a congregation, my duty is to serve this congregation by the means that we have. And we're thankful for it. And so we do our duty. We do what God has called us to do, to lead public worship, to preach the Word of God, and not be distracted or deterred from any other goal. And when we determine the will of God that is right for us, then we go through with it. And we seek to be led by the Spirit to obey, to do the right, and to glorify the Lord in the task. So that's the first thing about the Apostle Paul. He was regulated or led by the Spirit. Then in verse 23, you will see that he was realistic of earthly trials. He says there, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except, that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He knew that there was trouble ahead, but that didn't stop him. That didn't deter him at all. He was a realist. And in this world, we are not going to be in a safe place. Now, many were pleading with Paul, don't go, don't go. This is going to risk your life. But Paul was absolutely determined because he was a realist. And as we serve the Lord, we have to be realistic. We've got to serve God in the situation that the sovereignty of God places us. And here we are today. For me, it's preaching to an empty church, and I think of the people who sit in these seats week by week, and you are now watching in on this webcast, and we are realists that this is a short time, and this too shall pass. We will get through this, and Lord willing, there will be a day when church will be back, and hopefully we'll be back with all our seats arranged normally, with a full attendance, and praise God for the hope that is set before us. William Carey, the missionary, said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." That was Carey's motto. And we as Christians, even with all the difficulties and distractions that we face and the limitations we have, we still seek to expect great things from God. Now, God can bless you today through His Word by the means of this webcast. And as you look on your computer or your device, the Lord can have a blessing in store for you. Will you pray for that? Don't resist it. Don't lament. Just pray. Lord, I've got to expect God to work in my heart as I wait on Him today. Now, we're coming to the main text now, verse 24. Everything up to this point was really an introduction. Now we're getting into the meat of what Paul is saying in verse 24. "But none of these things move me." Here is Paul's resolve. And he's resolved that he would not turn back. He would not be deterred from doing the will of God, which was made so clear to him. He could not go back from it. Not all the advice of his friends could turn him. And note that he did not determine God's will by asking the opinion of all around him. He would never have gone on if he had sought men's opinions. And he would never have eventually had that free passage to Rome. You remember how he was arrested in Jerusalem. He was put on a ship at Caesarea, and he was taken to stand before Caesar. And all of that was in the providence of God. And someone has said that when you do your own will, you pay your own way. But when you do God's will, He pays the fare. That certainly happened for the Apostle Paul. And you know, for Jonah, he was the opposite. He sought to run away from the will of God. He ended up paying the fare, but he never got there. But eventually, when he surrendered to the Lord, he ended up going to Nineveh at God's fare. And so it pays to serve the Lord and be resolved to be faithful. He was also reserved not to spare his own life for Christ. If you look at that verse 24, and we're just going down this statement by statement, Acts 20, verse 24, and I hope you can put your finger right on the text here. Paul said, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself." He learned to value the Lord's will to be of greater value than his own life. Wow. This was the power of the gospel at work within his own heart. And if doing God's will cost him his life, then he would still go through with God. Now, that has been the attitude of many missionaries, and indeed martyrs have done so. Rather than renounce their faith, rather than abandon the course of faithful service, they were willing to lay down their lives for the Lord Jesus. So let me plead with you today to be resolved to put your life on the line. Now that means your name, your testimony, your character, your everything on the line for God, that you might be a faithful witness unto Him. And that is what we're called to do in these times. Now also you'll notice that he was resolved not to lose his joy. Now this is very important. He said, so that I might finish my course with joy. The apostle did not have a martyr spirit. Now he was willing to be a martyr, but he didn't go around saying, woe is me. He didn't have a chip on his shoulder with a negative attitude saying that it's terrible to be a Christian. You will see in this man that there was a calmness. There was a victory in his own heart in doing God's will. We could say with the Apostle Paul, he was a happy man. Whether he was in prison, whether he was on that ship in the storms, and even he was shipwrecked, when he later stood before Caesar or in Rome in house arrest, Paul was a happy man. And you and I are to be noted by the joy of the Lord in our lives. We have to begin to count our many blessings. Now, we can lament many things. We can look at things that we would call reverses and hardships and sorrows. But as a Christian, we must finish our course, our ministry, with joy. And we need victory in our souls. Now, to do that, we must live in the victory of our Lord Jesus. We must live in the victory of Calvary. We must rejoice that the blood of Jesus has not lost any of its power. The atoning work of Calvary is still the flood of blessing and the fountain of blessing to every child of God. And so look unto Jesus today and find your joy in Him. And while the world may be against you, and while you may be restricted in many things, yet you can walk with the Lord just as Enoch did. And Enoch did so for 300 years in a world that was growing increasingly wicked and violent. And you can walk with God in this year, even through this pandemic, even through the hardships of these present times. And we can have a song in our souls, and we can lift up our hearts unto the Lord. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, you have that text that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when a people are defeated in heart, defeated in spirit, then they're going to be defeated in every area of life. And so, mother and father, in your weariness, in your discouragement, cast off those things and find your confidence and your victory in the Lord Jesus. You'll notice also that Paul was resolved to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You will see there, and the ministry I have received of the Lord Jesus. Wherever Paul would go, his work would not change. He was called to preach the gospel of the grace of God. Now, that really was to preach the good news of the grace of God. And we have the greatest news the world needs today. We can tell poor lost sinners that salvation is not by human effort, it's not by works, it's not by our own performance. It's a gift. It's the grace of God that He grants to His people each and every day. Now, Paul wanted to be found faithful in that. He did not want to lose that message of the good news of the grace of the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul was not responsible for the message, but he was responsible for the delivery, the faithful delivery of that message. And that's where we have a responsibility. And that's where I have a responsibility at this time. And I do ask for your prayer support and for you to stand along with me in these particular times. And on Wednesday, I implore you to join in on this Zoom prayer meeting. This is a way to merge all the voices, all the interest, all the confidence, all the prayer support of God's people on one forum. And you can be a part of that. And I plead with you to be a part of that. Indeed, I will be disappointed if you are not a part of that on Wednesday evening. So let's turn what might be called a hindrance into a victory by the gathering of God's people in that means of fellowship and of prayer on Wednesday evening. Now, moving on just a little bit beyond that verse in 24, and we'll go right down to verse 26, wherefore. And here really is the conclusion of the matter, and it brings our sermon to an end as well. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now, Paul could truly say that. He, in every location that he either pioneered by his own missionary vision or the circumstances he was in under persecution, he used every occasion to preach the gospel. Now, he uses very strong language. He talks about the blood of souls upon his hands. And that is the responsibility of preachers and congregations, churches. Because this is the language that Ezekiel used when he talked about watchmen upon the walls. Now, when the city was asleep at night, the watchmen were to be on guard and alert to any danger. If there was an approaching enemy, the watchman would sound the alarm. He would awaken the city to the danger approaching. If he didn't sound the alarm, the enemy had the tremendous advantage of entering the city secretly, finding people asleep, and therefore they might be massacred. And so the watchman had the blood of the people in the city on his hands if he did not do his job and sound the alarm, if he was falling asleep himself, or if he was off guard. Now, that language is applied to the Apostle Paul in this work of preaching the gospel. We have the blood of men's souls in our hands. And if we do not sound the alarm, if we do not alert people to their danger, then we are guilty of their destruction. And we have that weighty responsibility. And so we need to take this to heart. This work of preaching the gospel is most serious, most solemn, and we shall one day give account. And I must endeavor that I will stand before God, that I will not have the blood of any man, any soul on my hands. And that would certainly pertain to those who came under the influence of our church ministry. Anyone who comes in to hear the gospel but are not warned, are not told that they need to flee from the wrath of God and to be saved by the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. I must be absolutely faithful in every situation to preach that gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we must pray for those souls that their eyes be opened, their hearts be changed, and they be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. And that then becomes the peace of the preacher, that he knows that he has truly declared the whole counsel of God in faithfulness. Now, there's no way that you can preach the whole Bible in one meeting. In fact, we're not even capable of preaching one chapter in a whole meeting, or even sometimes a few verses. There's just too much to be said. But the elements of the gospel, the man's ruin, redemption by the blood, and regeneration, the need to be born again, must be preached. And I say to you today in love that you are a sinner, corrupt from head to toe, but Jesus died on the cross to redeem men and women, boys and girls, from their sins. And if you will plead the blood cleansing of the Lord Jesus, then you will be saved. You also need to be born again. And when you come to Christ, he will give you a new heart. But these are absolute essentials. Now you'll see here that Paul said, "Behold, I go." And in spite of all the attachments to the people, Paul said that he was set on going to Jerusalem and eventually on to Rome. And so it comes down to doing the will of God. It comes down to obeying the Lord and going forth in his will. I read of a missionary who was home on furlough, and he was asked, "Do you think that you'll ever return to India again?" Here's his answer. "In the natural, I can only dislike India," he replied. "It's dirt and filth and heat. It's fevers and dreadful diseases, the perpetual fight with mosquitoes. It's snakes in our bathrooms. It's scorpions in our shoes. It's poverty, privations and hardships. It's demon-possessed priests. It's sin, degradation and shame. Its anxieties and discouragements are things we can never like. And yet, while I do not wish to seem ungrateful to my friends, I must confess that I am not happy here. It is not my friends' fault. The voice of God is calling day and night, sleeping and awake, calling me back to India. I can only be happy in the center of God's will for me. And that place, I feel sure, is over in hot, dusty India, telling the simple old story of God's love to the multitude of people whose souls I love with my whole being." I read of a preacher's secret in his ministry, and that was, you must love your people. And we must love the souls of men who come under the preaching of God's word. And while I am a little aloof from my congregation, yet I can say to you today that I love you for your soul's sake, that you need the Savior. And you need to be saved. And I pray that today that this will be a word of warning and then also an invitation. I give the invitation for you to be saved, to know the Lord as your Redeemer and your Savior. I also read that if you change the D of disappointment to H, just one letter, just change the D to H in disappointment, it becomes his appointment. And I have to accept that today. For me, this is God's appointment. This is what I must do today and for the weeks ahead. And I must do it with all my heart. I must not turn to the right or the left. And I must be faithful, or I will have the blood of souls upon my hand. Now you have an appointment also, God's appointment upon your life, to be found faithful, to serve the Lord, and to worship him with all your heart. I want to invite you back to our evening service at 6 p.m. and I'll be here again. And I want you to join in. The subject this evening is how to study the Bible. And I'm going to take that from the angle of a new Christian, one who is just new to the Bible. And I want to give some helps on how to profit from the reading, the meditation, and the study of the Bible. That's at 6 p.m. this evening. I hope that you'll join in again, and the Lord will greatly bless you. Now, if you are listening in, perhaps for the first time, or you have yet to join with us, that we are not aware that you're joining in, we want to hear from you. Just send us an email or whatever other means. Give me a phone call or call our elders or anyone in the congregation. Just let us know that you have been a part of this service and that God is speaking to your heart. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we thank thee for helping us today and for leading us even to this very appropriate text for our own situation. And Lord, we learn that in life there's always change. Some things are just incremental changes, and then there are those large, staggering changes. But yet thou art the Lord who changes never. And your word is unfailing. Your promises are yea and amen. And we claim them today in that name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I cry to thee to bless every hearer. O Lord, let your word soak into their hearts. Let it be buried in the good ground and bring forth much fruit. And I pray that you'll be glorified in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, we are disconnected and depending on this webcast. But I ask thee, Lord, to go beyond that. O Lord, do thy sovereign work today and glorify your name in calling out a people who will walk with God and worship thee in spirit and truth. And now dismiss us with your blessing. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you redeemed now and evermore. Amen.